Hello, friends of Soul Kitchen. Today is not your typical podcast episode, but this is a recording of a masterclass with TED speaker Jacqueline Wei. So if you have always been dreaming about delivering a TED talk, this is really for you. Jacqueline Wei is one of the most celebrated speakers in the history of TED. Her TED talk, How to Be Happy Every Day, It Will Change the World, has been viewed more than 8 million times. In this TED talk, she shares a recipe for happiness, which is related to how much you give. She's also the founder of a philanthropic organization, 365 Give, with the mission to empower people to give something every day, whether it's time or money or love. And I think this is a beautiful initiative that definitely has inspired me to make giving part of my daily life. And in this masterclass, she will share some tips and tricks to be happy, to create your own happiness toolbox. She will share some wisdom on how to land a TED talk, how to deliver a TED talk. And it's a very insightful masterclass. So I wish you happy listening. And if you have a certain vision, don't hesitate to bring it to the world. So I would say, go try to get a TED talk and share your vision with many people.
So hello everyone, so excited to see you. I know some of you I don't know. It's always nice to meet new people. Why am I doing this? I interviewed Jacqueline for my podcast. I think she has a lot of wisdom to share. And I'm also interested myself in the idea of doing a TED talk. It scares me a lot, but I'm at least curious to know more. And I also like to be a bridge between people that I meet and then other people that I meet, including yourself. So today is really about learning from Jacqueline, from her TED Talk, how to craft a TED Talk, et cetera, et cetera. So enjoy. And enjoy. The floor is yours.
Well, I'm so excited for everybody to be here. Thank you so much for coming today. My name is Jacqueline Wei. I'm from Vancouver, Canada. So if we haven't asked yet, if everybody could just pop in the chat where you're from today. I love that we have people from all over the world. This literally will serve the world at even a greater scale from what we're going to talk about today and how we can, with everyone, find your passion and why it's important to share that with the world. And whether that's a TEDx stage or it's another stage, it will be, this is your opportunity to see if this is something that's going to be comfortable for you. And if just for my own story and for those of you that potentially don't know who I am the founder of a charitable organization called 365 Give. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about this story because it's how I landed my TED talk. So 365 Give was actually started as a personal parenting project. I started with my now almost 17-year-old son, but when he was 3 years old, I wanted to teach my son how to be a kind, compassionate, loving little human being. And so we set out on a journey together to do one thing to give back to the world every day for 365 days. At the time, I started a blog around it. And over the years, it expanded and we turned it into an educational program for kids that today has expanded to over 700 schools globally. And we expanded even further so that we were able to provide a program, a framework, inspiration. We teach, we inspire, we empower people to give back to the world every day, and not just to benefit the world around us, but to also benefit themselves. And the beautiful thing about my journey with 365 Give is what I learned about happiness and what I learned about well-being and our own mental and physical health that I've been now able to share with the world through our inspiring story with 365 Give. Because really 365 Give has now traveled the world and turned into a global giving movement. movement for two reasons. And one, because when we started, I did it as a blog and we shared it. Believe it or not, these are the days before Instagram. We only had Twitter and Facebook then. No TikTok, nothing else. But we shared those stories out and people started giving because they were inspired by Nick when he was just 3 years old. We made giving so simple a three-year-old could do it, which meant anyone could do it. And the fact that we're still going today always amazes me. And that's the second part of this, is that I was given the opportunity to do a TEDx talk And that talk has now been watched by over 8 million people globally, which has taken our movement from a small little parenting project in Vancouver, Canada, to a worldwide global giving movement. And that's something I could have never have planned. It's something I always say, that one was on the backs of angels. But I learned so much as I went through the process. And as I said to Jasper before we started, if I can save one person some of the stress and anxiety and tears and suffering that I personally went through to finally present my final talk, that will make me so happy today. That we start with where you all need to start with, and that's your own personal happiness. I feel honored that I have one of my best girlfriends here with us, Asha Lalai. She's taught me so much about happiness. She's one of literally the world's leading experts on happiness. And this now for me, I know, is where we all need to start before we can dig into our passions, before we can go out and change the world, before we make that impact. We have to understand that this starts with ourselves. And in the times where you are going and potentially doing a TED Talk or any other presentation in front of people, and I'll let you know, I started with this myself this morning because I was nervous to come and present with all of you today, is you have to start with, where am I at right now? Because if we can't deal with our own emotional well-being, where you are at emotionally, in your mindset, in your body, in your heart, then going out and crafting a talk like a TED Talk makes it even more difficult. So we're going to find that clarity today, and we're going to start with happiness, because what we know about happiness is that when we're in a state of good emotional well-being and emotional regulation, and that's what I think of happiness as, is we're emotionally regulated, is your brain works better. Okay. It functions better. You're going to be able to sit down and write, because doing a TED Talk isn't about just standing on a stage and sharing your story. It needs to be written. It needs to be memorized. Your brain needs to be functioning at its best to craft this beautiful story, which in turn, you're going to practice 7,000 times until you have every word memorized in your sleep. And I'll tell you some fun stories about that, my brain not working well when I was too stressed and too anxious and literally standing up in front of 300 people and choking on the first time I did my TED Talk. So we'll talk about all those, but we're going to start with happiness today. So we're going to start today with understanding happiness. We're going to build a little toolbox together. We're not going to break it out in breakout rooms, but we'll use the chat. We'll have some conversation about this and how you can start building your own life happiness toolbox. We're going to talk about our passions, because really when you do a TED Talk, there's lots of us that have lots of knowledge. I'm sure we will talk about this. There's a lot of people that have a lot of expertise here. You may have a university degree in something. You may specialize in something. You may be a doctor. You may be a lawyer. You may be a researcher. All of the things that we have seen and heard of, you know, TED Talk experts. You'll laugh at mine. And if you haven't seen my TED Talk yet, when I started on stage, my expertise was being a mom. And because that's really where my story started as well. So there's expertise in all that we do, but it really starts with your passion and that message that you want to share. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to talk about the art of storytelling, because getting up and doing a TED Talk isn't just about having slides behind you, presenting facts and figures and numbers. I'll let you all know, I didn't do any of that. I didn't have slides. I didn't present anything. I didn't verify anything with facts and numbers. And because this person said this, I didn't do quotes. I actually did none of it. I just stood on the stage and I was so confident in my story and how I could impact people just by telling that story. It was enough. So we're going to talk about that art of storytelling and how you start it, how it continues through your TED Talk journey, and how you wrap it at the end. That's also going to tie into crafting your TED Talk so that you don't become, how should we say this, like everybody else. There's a lot that they teach you as you go through a TED Talk and you become part of a TEDx and or TED part of the organization. They have a very specific, as you will see when you watch many TED Talks, there's a very specific way people present TED Talks. And some are funnier than others. Because you will see with some of them that they've been so well rehearsed and so well crafted that it almost is funny because it follows the same as the next. And we're going to talk about how we can change that up so that you're not the same as everybody else. And then the most important part is how to land that TED Talk. And most people think, well, you just, I'm going to go, I live in the Netherlands, I live in Vancouver, I'm going to go find the closest one to me and I'm going to do that. But I'm actually going to give you some strategies and tools of how to find the best TED Talk for your story and your passion, how to make sure that you're aligning yourself with a really good TEDx organization, because it does make a difference, why it matters, and then how to get out there and actually how to land it, how to connect with the organizers, and how to land that talk. So we have a lot to cover in a very short period of time. This is really a masterclass that could take days. So it's going to be the condensed version today. And what you can always do is you can always reach out to me afterwards. And I'm happy to, you know, I will walk anybody through this process and be part of your own vision as your own coach and look at this a little differently if this is something you're serious about. So hopefully today will give you enough of a taste to either scare you off completely or help you decide that, yes, this is what I want to do and I'm going to go and pursue it. So that's my goal for the day. So the first thing we're going to start with is our happiness introduction and why this is important. I want to start with this one. And it's one of the people in this world that I've been so blessed to work with is a gentleman by the name of Neil Donald Walsh. He's written now almost 50 books. His most famous one is A Conversation with God series. He's a dear friend. And the first time I ever met him, I went up, he was on Clubhouse during our days of COVID when many of us spent a lot of time on that social audio app. And the first time I met him there, I went up on stage and I asked him, I said, you know, I want to write a book and I need a little guidance. What would you say to me? What were your words? And his words basically were, as I have a typo in my slide, I apologize, is we are all born with our own unique gift, something that we have that we should be sharing with the world. And his words, I never forget when I'm really scared, is how dare you not share it? How dare we not come to this lifetime and this world that we're given and not share what is innately ours with the world, because you never know the person that you may impact, the heart that you may touch, the mind you may give a different perspective to. And as I had said earlier, I could have never told you that my TED Talk would have gone so far. My simple goal when I started that TED Talk and when I was asked to do it was if I can inspire just one person, if I can change one heart, if I can get one person to go out and do something small to give in our world, then I've done my job for this TED Talk. And I always kept that as my guiding light as I went through and I did my TED Talk. So why does it start with happiness? Why is this our most impactful step that we can have on our own lives? We're going to talk about it a little bit. Happiness as and this today is about sharing our passion and making an impact. If we're not happy with who we are, where we are, where we are in our own lives, that affects everyone around us. What we know right now in the world is that our greatest world's pandemic, our greatest world challenge is the mental health and well-being of everyone in this world. If everyone was a little happier, if everyone was a little bit more stronger in their well-being, if our mental health was more in control, what we know is that our world would be a more peaceful place. So this really starts with each and every one of us so that we can take our stories, we can take our passion, and we can share that out into the world. So I want everybody right now to, and we're going to build a little toolbox together today with everybody here in the room, is I want everybody in the chat to share one thing that they know for sure that when they're feeling a little down, you're feeling a little off balance, you're feeling a little dysregulated, which means your emotions are a little all over the place, you're a little stuck in your head. What's one thing that you can do to bring some happiness into your being that you can look out into the world and you can go, oh, I could do this and I'm going to be able to start to increase my own happiness? So if everybody could share one thing in the chat right now so that we can see these all come up. What I love about the things that you're putting in here, and Arthur, you were just took the words right out of my mouth, is all of these things are actually connection points, right? So if you are going into the water, you're surfing, you're running, you're taking a walk in nature, you're doing a meditation. These are all points of connection. You're connecting with yourself. You're connecting with the world around you. You know, one of the other things that I love to do as well is just go out and have time with friends. We have a beautiful WhatsApp group that Jasper and I are part of. And on the days where I need to make a connection, I'll start a chat in our WhatsApp chat space and just connect with my friends that I know are just filled with love and light and that we're all moving towards the same place. I highly encourage everyone to find that connection with others and like-minded people where you could reach out to anybody at any time and feel that connection with others. Because what we know is that connection and happiness actually change our bodies. So if you're not sure what this is, and Jasper, that was another one, beautiful one on giving, but all of the things that you're all talking about aren't just a connection to our soul self or our mind selves, but they actually change the chemical reaction in your body. And I want to share a little bit about that with you today. And we call it at 365 Give, it's your daily dose of happiness. And many of the things that you've listed here, giving, running, meditation, surfing, all of these items are going to do something that's going to create this chemical reaction. Practicing gratitude, another amazing one. And so the daily dose of happiness, DOSE, stands for four things that everyone should know: dopamine, oxytocin, serotonin, and your endorphins. When we start to connect our body, it's like turning a light switch on in your body. And dopamine is your reward system. So imagine crossing a finish line. Listen, this is the perfect example. Our phones, all that social media that we love to scroll through, well, they have that nailed because every time you scroll through Instagram, they're literally firing your dopamine switch off every time you scroll. It's why it's hard to get off, because every time you see something that you like, you get a little hit of dopamine turns on in your body. If you like chocolate, chocolate will turn on some dopamine too. It's like a little reward every time we have some. The next one is oxytocin, my all-time favorite. Oxytocin is our love switch. That is somebody giving you a hug, your first kiss, looking across the room and, you know, seeing somebody that you love across there. Oxytocin is an easy one to turn on, especially with gratitude and giving. We're literally putting love into action into our world. Serotonin is our happiness. When we feel happy, that serotonin coursing through our body. And the last one, and if you're a runner, for those of you who are a runner or you like to work out or you're surfing, for those of you who mentioned surfing, that is actually our body's natural painkiller. And it also helps us reduce stress, the cortisol that runs through our body. So I call it's, you know, your endorphins is that rush that you get when you're running. It keeps me running. That's what keeps me running when my endorphins turn on. But it keeps my body going because you no longer feel the same pain that you might be possibly in your life, and your stress is reduced. So keep that daily dose of happiness in mind and start doing your check-ins before you start work every day or before you start crafting a talk or a speech or something you may need to do. And especially if it's going into a TED, how are you going to turn on your daily dose of happiness? Okay. Because this is something that we do in mind, body, and spirit. We need to connect to our hearts. We need to calm our minds, and we need to increase this chemical reaction in our body that puts us in a state of flow and connection. Then we're ready to work. We're ready to go and follow our passion and share our stories with the world. So that's the first one right there. The next one that we're going to move to is actually building your own happiness box. And I wanted to share this one with you. I actually teach this one in schools to children. But it was an activity that I started at home with my children during COVID and that I share with people all over the world now because I think it's such an important one. And I'm going to share with you how we do this. And I encourage you to go do it at home. And you could do it with something as simple as your phone. You could use your notes app on your phone and start building your happiness toolbox there. You could, when I did it with my kids, it's a beautiful activity to do with a group of friends. For any of you that have ever had an art night, potentially with a group of friends or an activity night with friends, this is a beautiful activity to do with your friends where you can actually come with something as simple as a shoebox. You can come with decorations to decorate it with. It's one of my favorite things to do is have little boxes with lots of, with the kids, I use stickers, we use markers, but we actually decorate them so it becomes a beautiful keepsake box that you can have on your desk or somewhere else in your home. And my suggestion is that you start filling that happiness toolbox. Start discovering for yourself, and this means going out and actually testing it. Maybe you've never surfed, and tomorrow you're going to go try surfing. You're going to go try paddleboarding. Maybe you start there. You're going to go take that walk in nature and listen to a meditation at the same time. I'm not great at sitting and doing meditations and sitting still. I'm good for about 9 minutes is my max sitting doing a meditation, but I can walk for 4 hours meditating. So you need to start to find these things and actually write them down. And there's a reason I'm going to say write them down and put them in your happiness toolbox is when we actually take action in our lives, we set an intention. I am going to find these ways that actually create happiness in my own life, the tools that I can use, because I promise you they will be different every time. You can't use the same tool every day. We almost get, our bodies get a little bit tired of it or bored with it. So you start finding the things. Maybe one day, and I have a happiness tracker that I use, but I also have a habit. It's not a habit tracker. It is a bit, but it's a reminder that every morning when I get up, as soon as my alarm goes off, the next thing that happens is my little reminder comes up to say, turn on some music. And so I'll put my headset on. I have my happiness playlist that I have. And it's the first thing I do is I choose a song and I put music on in my ears. That one works for me every time. I can usually start dancing before my coffee is even ready to take the first sip. The next one will be, for me, is the breath. Somebody mentioned breath in here. So I remember to breathe because what I always remember is that when I take that first breath, that's literally pouring love into my body. Without that breath, I don't have this life. So for me, when I breathe in love. And when I breathe out, I give love. And that's the way that I start my day every day. So I already have my own happiness toolbox where I have built all of these different tools that I know, depending on my day, depending how I wake up. We know sometimes you wake up, it's not on the right side of the bed. How am I going to reset that for myself? What are the tools that I can use? I've got probably about 20 tools in my happiness toolbox that I can use to start that daily dose of happiness going. So what I like to do is for everybody in the chat right now, whatever your one first thing that you did was for happiness, I want you to put something else now. I want you to choose something else in your own life that you know very quickly and easily you can turn on this happiness switch in your body. Because when we share what our happiness tools are, you're going to inspire somebody else in this group to go out and give it a try. One of my newest ones, and I think I said this earlier, that I do now is when I go out for a run on the seawall, I'm blessed to live by the ocean, is at the end of my run, all in my running gear, I take my shoes and socks off and I go do a cold plunge. And that one has just changed my world. I love that one. It's one of, it just lights me up completely and totally when I do that one. I love that. Calling a friend, sending text messages is another one that I love to do where I'll just send a message. And it's a way of giving. And giving is really such a beautiful tool to turn on your happiness. Is sending a friend to the sending a friend a text just saying, I love you. And I did that. Jasper knows this in our group chat today is before I came on today, it was the first thing I did. I sent a little inspirational message to everybody and I just said, I love you. And I sent that out to 20 people that are in our WhatsApp group. And I know that just giving that little bit of love out to my friends turns that switch on for me. So I want people to start noting all of these different ways that people are sharing happiness. And I love that one, just sharing a smile. You know, what if we used our social media? You take a selfie, smile, and you post it on social. Imagine how many people you would touch in your own friendship group or whoever you have on social media, if you use it, if you did just that. You just posted a smile and said, hey, if you need this today, here it is. I have a friend, not only he's on LinkedIn, but in many other places. And he has a project called The Smile Project. I'm waiting for him to do his TED Talk on this. And that's what he does. He just goes around every day and creates smiles for people in their life in different ways. And it's the most beautiful project. And that's his mission and vision for the world, is how can he just help people smile? So I love that that one was put up. So when this is done today, what I want everybody to think of, so I keep us on track today, is how are you going to build that happiness toolbox? Could you actually call some friends? And I know many of you are from Portugal and potentially even have lived with Jasper at different times. Could that be an activity that you guys plan together? Could you call some friends this weekend and say, hey, bring a bottle of wine, bring some good food. Let's sit down and build our own happiness toolboxes, where you guys share your own ways to do things. You discover things about your friends you never knew before, and then get out and start trying them. Because we can't build a happiness toolbox until you actually know that they work. And that means we have to step out of our comfort zone. If you've never done a cold plunge in the ocean or a lake before, as much as it can feel challenging at times, maybe that's something you need to try as well. I had a friend, actually it was in Portugal last year when I was there on my Eat, Pray, Love trip. And I had a friend that convinced me to start doing these cold plunges first thing in the morning. And now I do them all of the time. And if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be doing those right here where I am now. So find some new music, share music with you and your friends, start a playlist. I mean, I love doing playlists with friends. Could you create a happiness playlist with a group of friends? Jasper, we need to do that with our WhatsApp group. We need to create a happiness playlist for all of us, and we can share music.
Great idea. Because,
right? It's always a beautiful surprise. And I have a couple of shared playlists that I have with friends that I go into that playlist and somebody's added a new song to listen to. And I just love that. It's one of the, it's like having a beautiful surprise when you wake up in the morning. So those are some ideas. Now, before we move on from happiness, I would love to open up the floor to everybody, because I don't want to be the only one talking. Would anyone like to share, some other moment of time, something you've done with friends, something you've done with family, something you've done on your own, a small story you'd like to share about how you create happiness in your own lives? Who's going to be brave today? And please just open up your mic and feel free to just share. We don't have to raise hands and everything else. Jasper, I'm going to put it on you. Oh, that would be great. Lydia, please.
It's just because after you said that so many of us live in Portugal, because I'm in Berlin, but I do live in Portugal as well. And one very remarkable aspect of that was the community aspect, living in community. Mm-hmm. Also with people who are from everywhere, because one thing is living abroad with people from that country, but I felt you didn't share the similar experiences. But when you live abroad with a community of expats, you really create these bonds that for me was like changed my life when I moved to Portugal. So I find that very important. Yeah.
I love that. Thank you for sharing that. Because listen, science proves that, you know, connection with others and always feeling that connection, whether you're close proximity to each other or even far apart. I promise you, in our WhatsApp group, it's people from all over the world, but there's still this beautiful heart-centered connection that we all have with each other. And you don't lose that, even when you're not, as you said, you're in Berlin right now. So that never has to go anywhere. So
we just agreed, Oliver is still not convinced, but that tomorrow morning we're going to go for a run in nature very early, waking up earlier than we normally do. And then we're going to go for a cold plunge in the sea. So thank you for the inspiration. That's what we're going to do tomorrow.
Yay. Well, you guys will laugh, but I get up at about somewhere between 4.
Sorry, we couldn't hear you.
There you go. I was just going to share with everybody, I have learned to get up between 4 and 4:30 in the morning. It's my favorite time of day. And really, it's because I'm a mom and because I have three boys. And it's the only time of day that's actually dead quiet in my house. And it has now, I don't need an alarm anymore. I automatically get up at that time. And then that's for me, watching the dawn of the day. It's my favorite thing. And I'm down on the seawall by about 5:30 or 6 in the morning. And it's watching that sun come up is just it. It reminds us of the gift that we have. So I'm excited. I want to hear from all of you guys. We need some pictures, right? We might need to have a little group after this, Jasper, because we're going to, you know, actually, it's a great idea. If everybody is up for it, we should create a little group after this. And just for the next week, to like pop in an image or a story or a video and share what you went out and tried, maybe something new or something different that you've done. Send us a dance video, you know, and let's have a little bit of that community time together as well.
Good.
I'll write down the names that are attending.
Okay, beautiful. All right, let's dig in a little more. Let's talk about exploring our passion and purpose. Okay, so this is a big one, you know, getting really clear, and many of you have heard this one before, you know, getting clear on your why and identifying that passion. This is a hard one sometimes, you know. A lot of people know kind of what gets them excited. A lot of people are out there doing and practicing things that they love, or maybe they have a job that brings out that passion in them. But the question goes is, how do you begin to express that? And I think that's one of the hardest jobs that we have to do. And I promise you that when I started 365 Give, you know, you could literally go back, you can go onto our website now. The very first blog post I ever wrote is still there today. I think we've done over 1,200 blog posts now at this point on our website. And I was scared, you know, I didn't know what this was going to look like. I didn't know how it was going to turn out. I didn't know if I was going to be able to blog every day. And I actually did. But then when it came to crafting my story for the TED Talk and I was asked to do it, it was hard. And it wasn't even for the TED Talk. It was even before that, because what we know with a lot of, for those of you that are there, you might have your own small business. You might sell services so that you can have this traveling nomad life. You might have your own website. If you've ever, I just redid the 365 Give website. If you've ever written a website, finding those words and keeping them short and sweet, it's one of the hardest jobs, and identifying that part of your passion and finding those words. So what I think I'm going to do, and we'll break this up a little bit differently because we're not going to do a breakout session. But the first thing I want everyone to do is in the chat is, what is your passion? Let's everybody, and you got about, what is that thing? What is the thing that gets you out of bed in the morning? What's the thing that lights you up? And for me, I don't care if it's your mom and your mothering, that's one of the things, trust me, that gets me out of bed every day. It could be, you know, even the things we were talking about, love, like that's perfect. That gets me out of bed every day, right? So what is that thing? What is your passion? What is the thing that, you know, you want to start identifying in your own life and your own world that, that lights you up? That's really where we want to start today. Because if you don't know what that is and you can't identify it, how do we share that with the world to make that greater impact? If I hadn't have blogged every day, I'm just giving everybody a minute to think about what their passion is and putting it in the chat for us. You know, if I hadn't have actually identified and gotten really clear, and before I started 365 Give, I'll let you know, it took me months of going, okay, I know I want to do something philanthropic. I know I want to do something with my kid. I need to include him in the work that I do. And it took me a long time to actually get to 365 Give, even that name. Took me a while to get there, and what I wanted to do differently. I had been in the philanthropic world already for over a decade at that point, but I knew I wanted to do something different, and I had to sit down, and I'll tell you a funny story. I was forced to sit down with that. I ended up breaking my foot at the gym one day going a little too hard, and it forced me to sit still. I'm not good at that. Sitting still has never been something I was good at. And I was forced to. No weight bearing for 3 weeks with a toddler. And I had to learn to just sit with myself. And it was one of the greatest times of my life because I was journaling hard. I wrote a lot. I dug into discovering what that was and listening. right? And for those of you, I don't know if everyone does this here. I know Jasper has a pretty remarkable group of friends, but can you actually hear the voice inside of yourselves? And I'm not talking about our monkey mind that rambles away, but can you hear the call? You know, can you hear that inner voice, our soul voice, that gives you that guidance? And do you sit down enough to actually hear it? There's lots of ways we can hear it in different ways. For me, I get angel. I bumped into somebody yesterday and out of nowhere, we started talking about angel numbers. And, you know, those guide me all the time in my life. I have hummingbirds. And this is the craziest story. I had a dozen hummingbirds land in my yard yesterday so I would just stop and listen. And hummingbirds are a big guidance for me because all of these things force me to stop, turn off the voice in my head, and start listening to my heart and what it's telling me. So this is one of the ways to find that passion for yourself. Are you actually listening to those whispers that keep coming up in your life so that you can take action? That's why we're here. We listen to the whispers, we listen to the voice, and then we get to go take action out in our world for it. So perfect. Here we go. So I love that people are now sharing all of their passions is coming through, spotlighting creativity and true potential in others. I love that. Maki, that sounds like a great coaching job. The cat wakes me up and deep gratitude with the opportunity of each day. Oh, I love that. And yes, taking that step, you know, I always say taking that step, one step past our fear, opens up a whole new world. It's this opportunity that we get to say yes to our life. So I'm really glad that you shared that one of stepping out of our comfort zone. And that's really just taking that step beyond our fear. And what I promise you is if you decide to do a TED Talk, there's going to be some fear involved and you have to keep taking that one step every day past whatever scares the living daylights out of you. So that's beautiful. Thank you everybody for sharing that in here. Okay, so let's now talk about, and let's do this with a raise of hands. We can use our little emoji hands in there. Who right now is doing for their work and in their life something they love? Beautiful. Now, could everybody for a minute, for those of you that raised their hand and said, yes, I'm doing something in my life that I love in regards to the work that I do, could you put in the chat what that work is for us? What is that work? What are you doing in your life? And listen, it doesn't even have to be in your work. It could be something that started as a passion and now turns into your work. When I started 365 Give, it was not my work. It was just something I was doing for my own personal passion. Something I wanted to do with my son. It was never my work. And now it's turned into my work and my story. So what is that for you? That you're doing either something you're truly passionate about. I'm writing my first book. I'm trying to do that too. Yay. I love that. Sales and relationship coach, hosting and personal branding. Amazing. And look at the people we get to meet because we're sharing this. There's going to be a lot of great crossovers and meetings that people should be having after this. Jasper, podcasts and retreats. Yay. Coaching, investing in female founders. I love that. Building tech for connection. Beautiful. Co-living in Portugal. We love that. That is brilliant. I love that, Oliver. I love you're part of that. Working on projects to contribute to the local economy and food systems. Beautiful. And you know, a lot of these passions may come through exactly that, through volunteer work that you are doing. And the beautiful thing about a TED Talk is you can find ways when you're sharing the work that you're doing as a passion, you can turn that into work that you want to do every day as well. There's great opportunity in that. Okay, so here we go to the next step of this. Sharing your story in 2 minutes or less. So this is the next part, and we're going to need some volunteers for this one, is how do you come up with your pitch? Because you can't craft a TED Talk until you actually are able to pitch what that is. And I promise you that when you apply for a TED Talk and you speak with whether it's the coaches that are part of that TED Talk or the organizer of the TED Talk, you're going to need to be able to share your story, your passion, the work that you're doing in the world in 2 minutes or less. And it took me a long time to get there with 365 Give. I did it really briefly with all of you when I started this conversation today and this class with everybody, is what is the work that you do in the world? And so my work, and as I shared with all of you, is I'm the founder of 365 Give. And 365 Give started as a personal parenting project between my son and I when he was just 3 years old. And today it's turned into a global giving movement that's changing the world. That's my pitch. It's really that simple, because what the pitch does is it tells you who I am. It tells you the work that I do with 365 Give, how it started, which I can promise you that hook of you did what with your three-year-old is always the one thing that people want to hear more about, right? And today we're changing the world. So I give you just enough in a few sentences to say, hey, this is who I am. This is what I do. This is the work that I do. I did it because it started as this, and now it's this, and holy crap, we're changing the world. So I want you all to think about right now, and we're going to need some volunteers, who would like to try their elevator pitch out on us today, and who would like to share what it is you're doing, your passion, your story, and give it to us in a few sentences. Who's going to raise their hand? And this is the first step. It's going to make you uncomfortable. It's going to feel hard. And you're not going to always get it right in the first second, but I want you to try, because that's stepping past your comfort zone. Okay. So open mic, everybody. Somebody open their mic. And who would like to give it a shot? Go.
All right. So when I was about 21, I did a meditation in the middle of Amsterdam for the first time, hosted by Lululemon, coming to the Netherlands. And I saw myself flying to Portugal, and I'd never been to Portugal. And, I'm a little bit older than 21 now. And I'm living in a wooden horse truck and about to set up the space that I saw in the meditation when I was 21, which is about creating a place for connected leadership and basically sharing knowledge on creation and imagination and regenerating nature, on how any person, any company, any initiative can take regenerative principles into their way of being and bring it back into their lives, into the rest of the world. And basically, and this is what I'm adding to it these days, taking out the bullshit that is too complex, or that can only be done if you work in a nature-based company. So that's what I'm doing. So I drove to Portugal in a wooden truck to set up this race plan.
I love it. You know, Felice, I'm going to pull out a few parts of that story. I love it. Thank you, first of all. There you go. Is that it? Is that the wooden truck?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I love it. That's brilliant. First of all, thank you so much for being brave and being the first one to come and share what it is you're doing. And oh my God, your truck with us. How fabulous was that? So congratulations on taking that first step and sharing that story with us. So I'm super proud of you, and that's amazing. I want to share with you a couple of things that jumped out. And if anybody else wants to share, this helps us all, right? And what jumped out. And so the things obviously that jumped out to me were the wooden truck. I'm like, what? Wooden truck? Because that's a really cool part of your story. And the fact as well, it's like, oh, when I was 21, and I literally heard these words starting with your story. When I was 21, I had this vision, right? And the vision was this wooden truck. And I could literally see in that moment, this picture as you were doing your TED talk of the wooden truck behind you, right? And what a gorgeous, what a beautiful part of that story. And for me, that wooden truck represents the beginning and the end of your story, because it's where the creativity will come. And it's that message that you want to share that's tied to this wooden truck. So I want to pull that out a little bit for you. Is there any other feedback or any parts of Felice's story that anybody would also say, hey, yeah, that hit me when you were talking, this is what I heard. This is what either touched my heart or hit me when she was speaking. So, and amazing. So Felice, work on that story, because when you get clear on what not only the story is, but what is what is it you're trying to give? And that's what I really heard from you as well. Is there something you really want to give the world? And I think it was three things that you were talking about. Creativity was one. Find those three things. Is it starts in this wooden truck. And these are the three things. Like, you need to be really clear on what that, these are the three things that I want to give, right? Give of myself, I want to share with the world. Get clear on what those, and if it was four things, and I apologize if I'm wrong, I didn't take notes, I should have. Get clear on what those three things are, and then how is that going to benefit your listener? What are they going to get from this? Because everybody's here to learn something. Y'all came today because you wanted to learn something. You don't want to just hear me yabber for the next hour and a half. You came because you wanted to get some things out of this today. So, you know, what's the cool hook of the story, which is definitely that truck. It's fantastic. You know, what's your journey been? Because your journey hasn't just been one place. It's been, I saw this. I saw myself doing this. And, you know, those three things, what's the gifts you're giving and how are people going to benefit? Because everybody wants something out of it. Okay, so how is everybody going to benefit and how is the world going to benefit? And I think that a lot of you are going to find this through line with your story and definitely through all of the ways that you've been sharing. And I see this help brands and individuals with their paid digital marketing so they can be in front of the right people to expand their mission. The fact that Anne wants to help other people, and that was beautiful clarity in that, Anne, by the way. The fact that Anne wants to help other people share their mission, it's the exact same story that we all have, is then when you've gotten really clear on what you want to do, Anne wants to help other people expand their own mission as well. And so that's the ripple effect, right? And that's the impact that we have on ourselves and then the impact that we have at a broader scale for everyone else, which is amazing. So that was great. So thank you, Felice, for sharing that. Did that make sense to you, what I was just saying about getting clear on that?
Thank you so much for the feedback. Super cool.
Okay. Okay. Awesome. Would anybody else like to be brave and share? Could we get one other person before we... It's got to be one person that can say, come on, I got this. Okay, that would be great. Anne, go. Let's do both. Anne and then Lydia.
Okay, so I will try to share the story in 2 minutes. So I always had the, had the dream to support missions and people that I love with my potential of making them even bigger than they think they can be. So I started in like learning a lot about what is successful marketing and what do some coaches, individuals, brands do very well, like what psychology and what tricks do they use in order to be more successful, and how can I transfer this knowledge to other people who also deserve to have the same expansion and who want to reach more of their audience by using different techniques or different branches in digital marketing.
You did great. That was awesome.
Yeah, I did have no time to think about this. So this
you did great. You did great. Congratulations. Yay. Perfect. Okay, I'm going to end this time. I was smart and I made some notes, which was great. You know, I think what I loved about this, and it's such a hot topic right now anyways, which is amazing, is, you know, you want to use digital marketing. And what we know right now is AI is taking over the world, right? So this is your opportunity to go is, how do we use the tools that are already out there to amplify your story? Right? Because that's really what you're looking at doing, is how do you help people amplify their story and their mission in their own lives to, and if I am correct, Anne, and you know, I may be wrong on this one, but I really got from you that you want to help create transformation and impact for the people that you work with, but really also the work that you're doing, helping them amplify that good in the world as well, with their own missions and visions. Am I correct?
Everyone needs profit, and marketing is what brings most of the time, if it's made well, profit and clients. And everybody needs clients to survive.
Yeah, absolutely, right? It brings the purpose and the passion and prosperity. That's always my favorite word, is prosperity. People sometimes get stuck on that word money. But that's really prosperity for us to be able to do more of what we want to do in this world and bring more benefit to the world as well. So I love some of the key points that you touched on when you shared that with us is the transformation, which I think is a huge one. And, you know, I'll let you know that I was stuck on for a long time that I literally wanted to start my TED Talk with, you know, I had a dream. They convinced me otherwise, but I was close. But I think that sharing that vision and how we can use technology and the digital capacity that we all have in front of us now to help people expand their own vision and mission for the world, like that's what I pulled out very quickly out of what you shared with us. And that word transformation was a big one. People want that is expansive to people, that word. That gives people an opportunity to expand beyond what they feel is possible for themselves. And you're giving them an opportunity to transform, transcend, and expand beyond what they thought was possible for themselves. And that's a real gift to give to people. And then using technology as this tool. I think a lot of times people think of technology, you know, we for 365 Give, we use technology and digital tools, as you're sharing with us, as a tool for good in this world. And you're giving people that ability to use, instead of being scared of the digital world, you're giving them the opportunity to use it for their own transformation and expansion. And I think that's a really unique perspective that you can give people. And a lot of what I pulled out and what you're, as we said, I'm going to go back to it again. People want to get something from your story and get something from where you, what you're sharing. That's a lot of what I pulled out of what you shared with me is that transformation and expansion for people. And so all I would say that I would add to this is what's your story in this? What's the personal story that's going to connect people to you? So you shared what you do with us. What's the story that maybe led you to doing this? You know, Felice shared with us, you know, obviously the wood truck, right? That's her part that grabbed us out of her story. What's this part of your story that's going to connect? For me, it's my 3-year-old son and this personal parenting project that we did. What's that personal part for you of your story that's going to connect people to their hearts?
You're asking me now?
Yeah.
Okay, so I always, it's actually, okay, the following is, I've been working in event marketing and offline marketing and other weird stuff. And I realized pretty quickly that I think there's so much waste going on in this world when it comes to event marketing and other marketing, and brands are just throwing money out. And I realized pretty quickly that's not what I want to support. I don't want to stand in a corporate and to just throw out money because they have so much money, but I want to use technology and automation in order to find out what's the direct effect of my work. And like, for instance, in digital marketing or in paid media, it's the opposite because it's not offline marketing. So that's why I set myself the mission to learn this and to study this into the total depths, to be able to apply this and then to decide to which brand or to which individual I want to apply it. So I want to have the freedom and not be working and dependent on big brands who are already big known, well known anyways.
And I love that. And that was the missing piece right there, right? Is how do people understand? Because what you want to do is take away, well, I don't want to say wrong word. I don't want to use the word take away, but you know, what we know is that when we shine the light on all of the big brands and how they literally are taking over the world, you know, you want to look at doing this differently. You want to reduce that, all that's going in and create a new distribution system almost, right? So that there's more even playing field and it's not just about the big brands. And that's a huge part of your story that you need to intertwine into the work that you do. Because that part as well, and that piece, that impact that you want to make at a different scale, that's a story you want to tell on your website as well, right? That people are going, oh, this is different. This isn't just another brand marketer. This isn't just that person who wants to, you know, sell me more social media opportunities or anything else. You want to do it differently because you want to change systems. And that's huge. And don't negate that as part of a very important part of your story, right? It's the way we capture people. When we're telling our stories, what's that hook that when you stand on a stage, TED or other, what's the hook that's going to get your audience to connect to you before you've even started? And as much as my opening line from my TED talk was very unique, what it did is it connected people in one of two ways, both negatively and positively. If you were a parent in the room, you completely and totally got me because I was standing up there saying, you know, I have what some consider to be one of the toughest jobs on the planet. I'm a mom. Well, let me tell you, if you go look at the comments on my TED talk, half of the group goes, oh my God, she's just a mom. How cool is this? And the other half go, being a mother is not the hardest thing on the planet to do. You should see what I do. Right? So no matter what, there was just, that was my hook, right? Where I got people right from the beginning that they're going, oh, okay, I'm going to listen to this because one way or another, they connected to it, whether it was in a negative way or a positive way. So we all have to find that hook of our story. The same way I said to Felice is how to, you know, that's her wooden truck. That's got to be your opening line in there somewhere, right? Where everybody wants to know more about the wooden truck. So find that, Anne, find that hook that's going to be your story. And if it's about big brands or it's a bold statement or it's something about facts and figures about psychology and how we use technology, that's going to have people wanting more. Does that sound good?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, great. Does anybody else want to share anything with Anne that they pulled from her story that you could just share as a, hey, yeah, I got this from this, or... Okay, we're going to do one more and then we will shift on. Thank you, Anne, for being brave and sharing with us what you do. I love that because I think you also have, I mean, we all have to look at every opportunity we have. There's now 24 people in this room. And Anne, congratulations, because I'm going to be reaching out to you to say, hey, Anne, tell me more about what you do. Right? I think there's an opportunity we may have to do some work together. So every time you step into a room with other people, it's your opportunity to share what it is you're doing in the world. You know, this is a gift for me that Jasper's given. You all know about 365 Give now. And if one person today goes, looks at our website or watches the TED Talk and it inspires one small act of giving, this will be the greatest day for me ever. I had an opportunity to talk to 24 people that I wouldn't have otherwise gotten to connect with. So thank you for that. So Lydia.
Now I got.
Are we good?
Well, I help others heal their relationship with their voices, especially women, because I believe that everybody has a voice. And when our inner voice are aligned with our outer voices, we can really create big impact into the world. And this desire to do this type of work came from not a very long time ago, where I put all the pieces together from my own story. I started singing when I was 12, but then I decided to pursue a scientific career. And I was a scientist for 15 years because I thought that that's the way I should go to be able to be someone successful in the world. And at that time I was 22 and I didn't know how much this was being shaped by structural beliefs of society's expectations, not by my own desire of being a scientist. I was a good scientist, so that was actually a step that took me a few years to understand that this was not because I was being a scientist that I was pursuing my purpose. And that was when I went into my plant medicine journey and my spiritual journey. And then after that, I put all the pieces of the puzzle together, the singing, the science, and my own spiritual journey into my own method of what is called voice activation. And nowadays I help women to unleash their true potential through their voices.
Yay!
Brilliant job. Great job, Lydia. Amazing. Amazing. So much goodness in that. And here's the really neat thing is, Lydia, I could see, and probably just from hearing this as well, is that you made sure you didn't miss the personal pieces in there and your own story that was intertwined beautifully into there, which was amazing. And really, there's so much uniqueness about what you're sharing with us. I'm going to share some of the parts that really grabbed me in this process as well, is there's some key pieces, you know, and I talked about this earlier. Are you listening to that inner voice, that whisper? You know, that is, we can call it intuition, right? There's lots of different words that we can use, but I think that's such a key element that you're going to be able to share with your own talk, is that inner voice and the outer voice, how we bring those together to find that alignment in our own lives, which is big. And the uniqueness is, you know, for me was, you know, science meets singing. You know, that's pretty, there's a really cool opening moment for a TED talk in there. And I don't know if you've watched mine or not, but I sung on my TED talk. I sung "We Wish You a Merry Christmas" and I got the whole audience singing with me. And I literally said, this is a TEDx first when I did it. But what I can promise you is that when I started that song and I got everybody singing with me, there was this cool connection with the audience that happened in that moment. And I want you to consider that as, how do you take people into your story? How could you pull them in through the 12-year-old little girl self who was the singer, to now how that connects, and you can help them understand the science of why this is so important, right? Because I know, and I'm not going to even begin to be the person to express this, but what I can share about my talk that was unique, that everybody reached out to me is they never knew the science of giving. And I only shared a little bit about the science of giving, and I didn't do it with slides, and I didn't do it with facts and numbers or anything else, but I shared and told them about the helper's high. And then we talked about, you know, dopamine and serotonin. And that's what everybody said to me. They're like, I never knew that. And they thought that science was really cool and how it ties into giving. I didn't know it until I did that TED talk, honestly. That was a new piece for me. But I think that's a real gift that you're going to be able to share with people, is how does everybody connects to music, right? Everybody can connect. We all have our own singing voice, whether it's in the shower or I sing running down the seawall as I'm running. We all have that. And so these are the pieces that people are really going to be able to connect to. And then when you can show them the science that goes together and why all of our voices count. Because what I can tell you from a neuroscience perspective and a psychology perspective is it's one of the greatest gifts we can give another person is when you're seen and when you're heard. And that's through our voice, right? When people actually feel heard in their life, that is the greatest impact you can have on any other person, is that you actually feel heard. And I think that all of these little pieces combined with your story, and then that big part is bringing it all together, bringing either your heart, the voice of your heart, and the voice of your body and who you are to the world. That's the gift and the legacy we get to live, right? That's the significance that we get to leave in this world. So I love that, Lydia. I hope little parts of that helped a little bit, but there's a lot of magic in that. Don't negate your 12-year-old self who sings. Because that's the way to do things differently, when we can ignite an audience through our own voice and then show them, because they'll feel that connection right away, right? Mm-hmm. So if you still got that inner child in there that's, you know, willing to go out and do something differently at the beginning of a talk, I could see that as a big one, where you help everyone in the audience sing a song together, but connect not only to your voice, but connect to their own voice.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Is there any other feedback that anybody would like to give while we're here? I'm trying to keep us on track at the moment. Wonderful. Thank you, everybody, for taking that time and being brave to share with us. I love all the work you're doing. And what an amazing group of people that we have, which is absolutely fantastic. So I'm going to keep this part tight so that we have enough time for the big one. We just talked a lot about storytelling and some of the techniques. I'll do this really briefly, but this is probably the single most important thing that you can do. And I'm going to talk about it specifically with a TED, is that art of storytelling. People don't want to be stood and talked at. Okay. It can't just be about science. It can't just be about facts and figures. What we know is that, and I'm going to take this from the not-for-profit perspective, but I'm also going to take it from the TED perspective, is the moment you can connect with your audience through a story, it can be a heartfelt story, it can be an honest story, it can be an authentic story, it can be a who you are story, but you need to find something in your own story that's going to connect you to the audience. And listen, you're going to see these all the time in TED Talks. You see this in inspirational speakers where they go, hey, can I have a raise of hands for anybody that, you all know those talks, right? You know, I have a question. Can I have a raise of hands if you felt this before? It's very programmable, you know, it's a very common thing that people do when they're doing talks. And my suggestion is what's that story that you're going to tell that's going to connect? We just talked about Lydia, you know, how can she connect through potentially song, singing her own story of how she went from, you know, that story is so compelling because at 12, she wanted to be a singer, but society told her she had to be something else. And that's a big cultural story. In itself, or the cultural programming that we have in our world is that when we're kids, we have these passions that we have, but are we actually allowed to, or is it acceptable to go and pursue those passions? So how do we connect? And I think almost all of us have that story. So how do you begin to help people connect through that story or the wagon, you know, with Felice? That's a beautiful story of, you know, how do we create, how many of us got pulled in a wagon? We're part of a wagon. You know, where's the part of that story that you can connect to your audience? And that's the big part about storytelling, is finding that interwoven piece. And I want everybody to do this at some point, is go back and listen to my TED Talk. You're going to hear me say a number of times at different times, parts of my story about giving is so simple a three-year-old can do it. You don't hear it once. That story and that thread is interwoven throughout the whole TED Talk. It was done very specifically, so there was a message that people could connect to and take away from at the end, that giving so simple a three-year-old can do it. It's a daily habit, just like brushing your teeth. And you'll hear parts of that story intertwined at the beginning and all the way to the end. So I want you to think about when you're telling your story, is the story that you start with, how do you bring it full circle around to the very end? And it's like writing a book as well, is what you start writing your book with, and the message that you're bringing, that's your story. At the very end of that book, at the very end of your story, you learn something. And Lydia, we heard that even in your pitch as well, and we heard it with you, Felice, as well, is your story started here, but you took a journey, and that journey took us through a path, and your story is going to take us through your own path of learning. And when you completed the story, that's what you learned from where you started. Right? So that's what you want to do with your story, is how do you intertwine that path to engage your listener, to bring them in, and what did you learn at the end? Because that's what we know with everyone, is that at 12 years old, you started as a singer, but you went on this crazy path that took you to right where you are today. But it all connected together, and all those parts and pieces connected together. If I hadn't become a mom, I wouldn't have started 365 Give. My journey would have been very different. So the story of my son intertwined all the way through to show how, what he learned about happiness, what he learned about giving, how it was so simple he could do it. And so he was that thread that always came back through the story of my talk and how we ended it as well. Giving is so simple, a three-year-old can do it, which means we all can do it. And that was the end of my talk, is there are 3,000 people in this room today. If everybody did one small thing to give every day, right? And so I was able to give them that action to take back at the very end of it, because giving was so simple, a three-year-old could do it. So there was no excuse for anybody in that room why they couldn't go and give. Okay. So that's the intertwining of your story all the way through what is going to be your talks, not only for your TED talk, but any talk, anytime you're in a room speaking with people, how are you going to bring them in? How are you going to bring them into your story? Okay. And then how are you going to hook, line, and sink them at the end, that at the end of it, they went, wow, what a journey, and how cool is that, and how it ended up. Okay. Does everybody understand that? Is there any questions at this point? But to, this is the big part now that we're going to go to, is how y'all going to get a TED talk at the end of this. Okay. So the big pieces, and we don't want to miss that piece. So is there any questions so far of what we've talked about? That I'll just take a moment. So if you have any questions, we can stop and I can answer those for you. Okay. Let's go ahead. Let's go land a TED talk, everybody. This is the next big piece. And I wish this, these are the pieces somebody told me before I ever started. So now, and I call this a, oops, sorry. I think I just took the wrong slide, wrong screen. These are kind of some of the pieces that I wish somebody had told me. My journey to my TEDx talk was very unique. And it goes something like this. I was in the gym one morning and I started talking to this 85-year-old man who decided to start a conversation with me. He was hogging a piece of equipment that I wanted. And so I asked him if he could just go stretch somewhere else so I could have like a piece of equipment. Well, in that moment in time, I happened to have a 365 give t-shirt on in which he asked me about it. Well, this gentleman literally said to me, oh, that's interesting work that you do. Have you ever thought of, you know, speaking on that, or do you speak on it? And I said, oh, as it just so happened. And in that time, I had been asked to do a talk, and I did small speaking engagements about 365 give at that time, but I had been asked by the Institute of Canadian Scientific Research, don't even ask, to do a talk with two other researchers that I had worked on, because we had a research piece done on 365 give and the effects of giving. If I could be like the end game, the story to their talks about the science of giving, could I be the one that kind of ties it all together through the story and how we teach children to give? And so I was working on that talk at the time. And so I said, yeah, I'm doing this talk for the Canadian Institute of Scientific Research. He said, oh, I'm telling you, I didn't even know the guy's name yet, but he's such a cute old man. And I thought he was just like this little angel that came into my life. And he said, listen, I have a friend who happens to be in Toastmasters, and he is ranked number 6 in the world for best speakers. He said, would you like an introduction to him? And I was like, at the time I was like, I don't know, maybe. And I said, let me think about it. And I just left it at that. I didn't really know who this guy was. Well, don't you know, I bump into this gentleman 3 more times at the gym over the course of about 3 weeks. And he said to me, I'd like to gift you this coach. And the man literally paid for a coaching session with this man for me. Well, it ends up that this coach also happened to be a coach for what I didn't know at the time was the largest, third largest TEDx event in the world. And so this is what I want to talk about when we talk about landing a TEDx talk. That one was fluke. You know, this is when I got a little angel that popped into my life, and I just listened to my inner guidance system when I went, okay, the answer is yes, let's go that way and see what happens. And so that one worked out really well for me. I still had to audition for my TEDx talk. I had to literally craft my TEDx talk in 3 days or less and then go present it to the committee. But it landed me a spot in which I could then go master my TEDx talk a little bit better. So here's the process that I want everybody to start going through as you're really considering your TEDx talk. Don't choose where you're going to do your TEDx talk based on where you live. Okay. TEDx talks are actually ranked, believe it or not. And they're ranked in a couple of different ways. So here in Vancouver, there was a stage, it no longer exists. The producer decided to stop doing it, but it was called TEDx Stanley Park. And so TEDx stages are ranked by the size of the audience. So the actual number of bodies they can sit down in a seat. So you just heard me said there was 3,000 people in the room when I was doing my TEDx talk. It was full on. There was a lot of people. It's one of the reasons they had a ranking of the third best TEDx talk platforms in the world, because they could sell tickets to the seats. Okay. So you want to look for a TEDx event that has a lot of people that attend it. It's your first thing. You don't want to do a TEDx talk that's in a high school gym and 50 people show up, and those exist. You don't want that one, okay? You want to find a TEDx talks that's close to you. I'm not saying you want to travel, because it takes time. Like, they're going to make you show up. You got to go to rehearsals. There's a lot of things that are involved with this. But you want to find a TEDx stage that actually people go to, okay? So you want a number of 100 and or thousands of people that attend the TEDx talk that you're looking at, okay? That's the first thing that you want to do, is how good is this? How much promotion do they do? So all TEDx events are try, or some do, get sponsorship. How well is it sponsored? So as you're going through TEDx events and you're looking at their website, go to their sponsor page. How much sponsorship do they get? And I'll tell you why. It's going to be based on if they have money that comes in for their TEDx talk to put the TEDx talk on in a decent theater, on a decent stage. The lighting will be better, the sound will be better, and the video recording will be better. And you say, well, why does that matter? Because if none of those things are good at the end of your talk, and the sound quality isn't good, and the video recording isn't good, TED, the main TED, the website, will not put your talk out. It will get stopped right where it is. So for all of the talks that are on the TED platform and the TEDx platform, if the sound is bad and the video is bad, it will never see the light of day. Okay? So that's your next point. You need to find a TEDx stage, the people you're going to work with, that actually have money that come into the event, okay, and get sponsored. So now they have ticket sales money and they have sponsorship money. Those are the things that you're looking for when you're looking for a TEDx talk, okay? And I know many people that did them and they never saw the light of day because they just weren't good enough quality, okay? And that goes along with the producers as well, because then you get things potentially like free coaches, okay, which are a huge value. Not every TEDx platform or TEDx stage is actually going to give you coaches. We were given, for my stage, I had that coach that I just told you about. There was a reason I told you that story. He ended up being my coach. I had the sixth best speaker in the world free as my TEDx coach, because that particular organization, this particular TEDx stage, had money coming in that they could afford to supply coaches for their team. We worked every weekend. So we went in and practiced every weekend together. I got time with my coach almost every day. He helped me write my TEDx talk. He helped me practice my TEDx talk. He gave me guidance. Sometimes I liked it and sometimes I didn't, but he helped me get that talk to the place that it is today. Okay, so these are some of the things that you're going to start looking for before you do anything, before you write your talk, before you anything. If you're looking at TEDx talks, start right there. Find the TEDx talk that's going to be the right fit for you. Choose a few stages, and then the next thing you need to do is every TEDx stage has a different theme. Again, most people don't know this. The theme for my TEDx talks and for TEDx Stanley Park is they wanted to put people to action in the world. They wanted to help create a world by putting people to action. My talk was perfect for this. 365 Give does exactly that. It puts people to action. I didn't know that when I first started, or when I first went and I auditioned for this. I found it out later. So you need to find out what the theme is. Sometimes the theme changes year by year. So when you're going and looking at TEDx talks, or you're considering applying for one, find out what that theme is. If you don't know what their theme is, here's your next point. You want to try and get in front of the organizer before you ever apply, okay? I got lucky because I got in front of one of the coaches. So he helped me kind of craft my message before I even applied. I knew exactly what they were looking for. I knew the speakers they already had in place. I knew the holes I was trying to fill. I knew how many speakers they were choosing from, all of those things. By the time I went and applied, they had already confirmed they had 13 speakers, something like 8 or 9 of those spots were already filled. There was only going to be 4 more people chosen by the time I got there. And we already knew what those other talks were about, because I promise you there's going to be other people that have very similar stories or potentially the same end game as that you do, or similar messaging. You need to find your way through the cracks of the speakers potentially they already have, so that you're not playing on the same theme. They want to choose two speakers that are kind of their end message is very similar. So let's say you were doing one on kindness. Let's just use that, right? You're not going to have two TEDx talks on the same stage that are about kindness, right? They're just not going to choose that. So your goal is how do I get my foot in the door with the organizer? And that could mean sending them a direct email. There's always a direct contact name. You can find out the organizer's name on the website and send them a message. Ask some questions. How many speakers do they already have chosen? What's the theme? Could I get on a call with you? Ask to have a call with them. The worst they can say is no, right? But, you know, would you mind spending a few minutes with me? Okay. And you better make sure that you've got your soft pitch ready, because if he's going to spend a few minutes with you and he's looking for speakers, you better have your 2-minute pitch ready to share with him if he asks. Okay. That well-crafted, story-felt, heartfelt pitch that's going to hook him, because that's all the time we've got. And that is why we went through that pitch part, because if you can get on the phone with the organizer and or pitch it over email, you've got to have your 2-minute pitch ready. So that means you've got to start crafting that now for that. Okay. So that would be the goal, is can you get on the phone with that particular organizer and have a conversation with him about the event? I think I might have missed this part, but I want to make sure I've checked this one off. Please check the ticket prices and how much they sell for. Okay. So for example, TEDx Stanley Park, the one that I did, the lowest ticket price, I think, was $87. That was their starting price point. The most expensive ticket was about $300. Why does that matter? Again, that's how much money and how good the event is will be based on the ticket price. If the event is free, my suggestion is you don't do it because it won't be big enough for you. If the ticket prices are like $10 or $15, I'd say keep searching for a talk or a TED talk. Okay. You want ones that have a higher ticket price. There'll be more value for the guests. You'll have a bigger audience. There's more money being poured into the event for that one. So ticket price is another important one. Find out how much their tickets go for as well. Okay. Let's make sure I haven't missed anything. Get in front of the organizer. You've chosen which stage is going to be the best one for you. You know how well I do. Go and look at some of their TED Talks, okay? This is the other part, the marketing piece, and you'll appreciate this. You know how important it is. Go to the TEDx stage, all of their social handles. How much do they promote individual speakers? How much are they promoting the event? How much are they doing in press releases? Because all of these are the parts and pieces that help to create legs for you, okay? So when I say this, and you'll understand this, is now, if you were going to go search 365 Give, our single best SEO word is now my name, okay? We've created, and I have created so much legs with my own name through the TED Talk, through podcasts I do, through interviews I do, through talks like this that I do. I have a very great reach with my name. And so what you want to do with your TED Talk, and we're not going to get to it today because this is a whole other masterclass, is how you actually market and spread the message once your TED Talk is done. When you go and you talk on that stage, you've only started. And we all think that that stage is the moment in time. Not at all. You're talking to maybe 300 people. For me, I thought 3,000 was a lot. Oh my God, I have to talk to 3,000 people. Not even close. Okay. Your work actually starts when the TED Talk goes live. Okay. That's where the work starts, but that's a whole other workshop we're not going to touch on today. We're just going to try and get you to the stage right now. Is you want to go and look, and what's the marketing and promotion they do? How many followers do they have on their media? You know, what's their database? How is their reach going to help you reach the audience before and after as well? How are they going to help promote your brand? You need to have those things in line. You can't just go to them and say, I'm an absolute, like, do you have a website? Do you have a book? I'm not saying you have to have all of these things, but you're definitely going to need your own social handles. They look for that pre-warning. Okay. If you're not on social media, your chances are going to be small, because what TED Talk people are looking for is not only how are they, how are they going to promote you, how are you going to promote them? Right. So you have to have a strategic plan in place, and part of your pitch to them as why you should be that talker is, oh, I'm on LinkedIn, I'm on Facebook, I'm on Instagram. Okay, I have X amount of base of people that we reach. If you're like Jasper, he also has a whole email database listing of people, right? So this is a cross promotional event with the people that you're selling and trying to convince to have on there. Is here, this is how I'm gonna sell myself for my TED Talk, right? They want to know. I promise you, there was one girl, she was the worst speaker that I've ever seen, but she had a million followers on Instagram and they scooped her up in her minute. Her talk ended up being terrible. And I think she only ended up with about 15,000 views at the end of the day on her talk, but she had a million followers. And so they saw that and they were like, great, this is our opportunity, right? Because when they're looking at TED speakers and when they go out live, their calling card for the next year's event is, how well did my speakers do? Okay. And our promoter, just so you know, used that all the time. He knew exactly with the combined speakers that he had fostered and grown and had through TEDx Stanley Park, that he had accumulated millions and millions of views. It was his calling card because of the TEDx platform he had created and that he produced. And he could say that. He had, I mean, I'm not even his most well-talked. He has one speaker who talked about sex and masturbation. She probably has 40 million views on her talk at this point, right? But it became his calling card. And so they're looking for people who are going to be able to understand the work that's going to go into the marketing and promotion of these talks. Because if you only get 1,000 views on your talk, that does not help them. They need the speakers who have the million views or the 2 million views. That's what we were always told. We did our talks in April. They went live in June. You have 6 months to get a million views on your talk. Literally, by Christmas, I want a million views. That was our producer, like, hammered us home on this one. I need you to have a million views on your talk by Christmas. Now, I was the only one of our group that actually got the million views, and the million views came on Christmas Day, believe it or not. But I got my 1 million views on Christmas Day. And it was, let me tell you, the miracle of Christmas. Holy hell. But that's one of the ways that you can pitch as well. So look at their social handles, look at your social handles, and how can you make that part of your pitch process as well? But it'll tell you as well how much they're promoting the event, how are they using their list, and they're going to be the ones out there promoting your talk both before and after the event. And that's very important for how you're going to spread your TED Talk at the end of all of this. Okay, that's a point. That's something nobody ever tells you to look at. So go look at their social handles. How much work are they doing to promote the work that you're going to do? Because this is a volunteer job, everybody. Okay, you need to plan in your schedules, and I'll tell you right now, anywhere from 300 to 500 hours of time. So if nobody's told you that yet, 300 to 500 hours of time. I think I spent well over that. And not for any other reason, but because I was so stressed, I was so anxious. This talk and the greatest lessons I learned from doing a TED Talk, and it will be the greatest thing you ever do for yourself, I promise you, is that any demon I ever had in my own life about getting up and speaking in front of people, and I have never been scared about speaking in front of people, but every part of myself that felt, any trigger, any insecurity, I'm not a writer. Like, that was my mantra. I'm not a writer. Oh my God, I had to write a TED Talk. And all I kept saying is I'm not a writer. Okay. So this is going to force you to get over all of those fears and all of your demons. And it's the best thing that will ever happen to you, because on the other side of it, it will be your proudest moment. It's like running a marathon. Even better, go watch the end of my TED Talk. You'll see me at the end and my arms go up in the air. That was for no other reason than, oh my God, I just made it over the finish line. I did it. I was on the floor in balls and tears many, many times, I'll let you know. But it was the greatest experience, one of the greatest experiences I've ever had in my life. And I've only learned and grown so much more since that experience. So I highly recommend it. I'm hoping I didn't scare anybody off of doing it today or trying it or going for it. You know, this is really, you know, this coaching or this masterclass today is really one that if I was your one-on-one coach, this is something that takes time and you build and, you know, you foster together and you grow together. but I encourage everybody to go and give it a try.
Ask
Jasper, of course.
To what extent do they recruit, or to what extent do they find people first that people apply themselves?
Yeah, they're recruiting all the time, just so you know. TEDx producers are recruiting all year round. They're always looking for people. And usually what they do is they actually, let's say they have a stage of 13 people. They actually usually have 15 people. Okay. So what happens is all 15 people get their talks ready. There's two extras that they have to plan that if somebody gets sick, somebody doesn't show up, somebody gets stage fright and can't go on the stage, they've always got a couple of backups. So even if you ended up being a backup speaker and you don't get your turn that year, they put you on, you're already guaranteed a stage, a spot for the following year. Okay. So there's little things that happen and go on all the time. But yeah, good question, Jasper, as well as, you know, they are recruiting all of the time. A lot of times they will go, like they'll find speakers on Instagram or somebody's recommended a friend or here, this person's got a really cool story. So you can get your foot in the door with lots of different producers as well. And that's why I say, try to make direct contact. Don't just fill out the application. Try and actually make a person to person contact because they may actually save you a lot of time. And if you get to do the pitch with them, they'll say to you, oh, you know what? I've already got a speaker that's doing something similar to that. You're not somebody we'll choose for this year, maybe another year. And then you know, you can go to another platform rather than going through the process. Like I never filled out the application. So going through the process of filling out the application, it's a whole thing. If you can save yourself a little bit of time, that's why I'm saying try and reach the event producer. But yeah, they're looking for, they are, I think there's 2,500 TEDx stages around the world now. So they're looking for a lot of speakers. Like it's not little, like it's big, right? So yeah, for those of you that end up landing your TED Talk after this conversation, always reach out to me because then I'll tell you about what you got to do to actually promote your TED Talk after, because that's a whole other thing. Okay. Now, any other questions that we have right now? We're going to try and stay on track. My son is doing what's that thing where you do a pop-up dance in the middle of somewhere? He's doing one of those for the last day of school. I've promised him I'll be there at noon. It's only a 2-minute drive, but I wanted to spend some time with a Q&A with everybody today before we go. So questions, what do you have for me before we go today? What didn't I answer for you, or what deeper questions do you have on some of the ways we were talking about how to actually land that talk? Oh my God, really? I answered everybody's questions today? There you go. And yes, Leah, be more aware of who's next to you in your gym from now on. And listen, it's so funny. I'm going to go have breakfast. He now calls me Ted, my old man friend. He now calls me Ted. We've adopted him as an extra grandfather in my house. He comes and dines with us and my family all the time. And I'm going to go have breakfast with him tomorrow. And he's now 93. And he just landed an opportunity to be on if everybody knows that show, America's Got Talent, well, he was just asked to do Canada's Got Talent as a comedian. So, wow. He's a character. So listen, look for those people, right? I always say, watch for the call, right? Because sometimes it comes right through your phone. Don't miss those opportunities of people that are right in front of you. We had lots of opportunity together today, which has been absolutely amazing. Thank you for the gift of meeting everyone here today. But every time you meet someone new, every time you step into a room, you have an opportunity to share your story with someone, and you never know that moment of time where it's the one that changes the world. And that one for me has.
Thank you very much, Jacqueline. It was truly enjoyable. And I think a TED Talk came one step closer for me, and I think for many other people. So if people want to work with you, do you already have like a coaching program, or is it still in the making?
There you go. Oh, well, you know, that coaching program's always ready, made and ready to go. I've already done some coaching with some people for their own talks. So please feel free to reach out to me, connect to me on LinkedIn. If you connect to me on LinkedIn, can you please put a note? I was in your masterclass, because as we know on LinkedIn, every Tom, Dick and Harry tries to connect with you. So if you can just please put a note that, you know, we met here in the class, it would be great. And then we can connect on LinkedIn. You can always find me through our website as well. I've put my email up there that you can use. So please feel reach out to me anytime if you would like, and I'm happy to discuss a one-on-one coaching opportunity as well for anybody in the future if you're ready to take those next steps into your story and go share it with the world. So I'm excited for all of you, and I hope that if you do choose to do it, please make sure you share, reach out to me on LinkedIn, and because I want to see your talk, you know, anything I can do to help create bigger impact in this world. Just going and watching somebody's TED talk, that does it, right? Big difference between 1,000 people watching a TED talk and 8 million people watching a TED talk. The impact that I've been able to create for it has been a remarkable gift.
Shall we ask, do we have two more minutes to ask a few people what they got out of it before we leave?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I'm good. I got 7 minutes still.
Quick round. Let's do maybe one sentence each. So for me, it's that it's about proactively reaching out, and there are so many TEDx stages. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Good. I'm glad you learned that one. Yeah. And taking that step forward, right? We talked about stepping past your fear and your comfort zone. Do that. Yeah. Yeah. I'd love any feedback that you got. Any way that I can make this better for people helps me a lot. So thank you.
Let you know. I give it to Felice.
Thanks, Jesper. I was just curious for this talk, and now I think you guys have, you know, awoken a fire in me where suddenly a TED talk comes into reality instead of, oh, that's for other people to do. So I'm not quite sure if I should thank you or cry, but thank you.
You'll do both, I promise.
Yeah. I just want to share, it was just so inspiring to just hear you talking, because nowadays it's so hard to concentrate on a talk, especially when right? It's online. And I was just so surprised. I was like fully on. So
thank you.
Just by you telling your story was really truly inspiring. So thank you very much.
Yeah. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. It was very great to listen, and I think I got a lot of insights, and I feel very inspired. And yeah, thank you so much for all these tips. And it seems like you really, really know how to craft these stories, and makes me very excited about where things are going.
Well, thank you. And thank you for participating, and I really appreciate it.
And you can give it to the next one.
Oh, I'll go. I think I missed my slot a minute ago.
There she is.
Thank you so much. Hi. I just found it so inspiring, but also that whole lifting the lid. And I think it's really who you were before, but also probably who you were after this whole journey and all the hours, the blood, sweat, tears. It's a rebirth, isn't it, to a degree?
Literally.
The synchronicities, the angels getting you up on that stage. And I think it's recognizing it isn't just the application and off you go and I'll wing it, but also, you know, how to put your unique stamp on things. I did a summit last year and my teams would not let me write it. And I literally had this piece where I got there and I said, right, I'm being guided that I have to not only channel this, but it has to be brought through in a way that it literally is interactive, existential. So this journey, everything that applies through my story, we're going to do a healing transmission for everything that's in resonance with each person that's here. And that is how it has to come through. And literally, I had all these people come to me afterwards, and I've realized that that was how I was being initiated. Like, you know your story. This is about not just me, you know, sharing that, but it was like, how can I shift the frequency and allow people to experience the transformation, not just me talk about it? So it was quite a white knuckle ride of trusting my angels and teams, but I don't know whether TEDx would particularly like that.
I'll tell you something about my talk is, you know, I got to tell you, the coaches wanted to change my talk every friggin' week that I was practicing. They had words and they wanted me to make up stories. They wanted me to inflate the numbers that we were using for 365 Give, to the point that that's why I was so upset so many weeks, because I it wasn't my voice anymore. It wasn't my story. They wanted me to inflate and change things and use words and metaphors that I would never come out of my mouth. And I came this close to quitting. I'll let you know, like 3 weeks before, I came this close to quitting because I'm like, I'm not getting up and sharing a story that's not mine. And I ended up getting a coach that a girlfriend had recommended to me. She was an acting coach. And we sat down, we rewrote my story in a weekend. I never even showed it to them. I got up on that stage and I knew it was my story because when I read it for the first time out loud with my coach, I cried. It was so true to me that I knew that this was me speaking now. And so I had to rememorize my entire talk 3 weeks before the event. They actually never saw the final copy. Don't say I ever said that, but it was close enough. It was close enough, but it wasn't the final copy. And I had to go do my own thing because I had to be true to myself and it had to come from my own heart. And I want everybody to always remember that. It's got to be you. It's got to be your story. It's got to come from your heart. And don't let anybody change that because they're the experts. They're all the experts. They all know better. They don't because they're not you, right? So you can use the guidance, but find that story and your own story that's true to you. Yeah. And that's what everybody says to me about my talk. I was true to who I was.
And that's where we access our energy. It just comes through us. If it's scripted to me, I'm just being in a box and silencing myself. So it just wouldn't work. But thank you, Asha, so much.
Thank you, AD. I appreciate that feedback.
I can go next just to say
that'd be great. Thank you. Of course.
I took away go bigger stage. That was like literally what I wrote down. Okay, stop playing small, go bigger, let them have the budget, figure out your audience, craft your story the way it feels authentic. And thank you for your time.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for that feedback. It's appreciated. Elise, is that there? Everybody?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure who's still here.
Kumar, maybe from India.
Yes. Hey, thank you so much, Jasper, for sending this invitation. It's absolutely stunning to listen to Jacqueline. I'm sorry I'm not keeping my phone and the videos on. But one comment I definitely can tell from this session is that I feel that all of us, every individual on this planet, has got some interesting story to inspire others. Many times we feel that it's not so inspiring. It might be too small a story to talk about it. But now after having listening to you, I feel no, you should not feel so. I mean, just come forward, talk about it. We never know that it can inspire millions of others out there. Right. I think that confidence, I definitely get it.
Thank you. Hey, thank I'm just a so mom, much. Guys. I'm just a mom, right? Thanks, Kumar.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, everybody. I so appreciate this feedback. And you know, you can always give more to Jasper at any time. And please feel reach out and connect with me. I'm looking forward to connecting with everyone here. And thank you for your time and interest. And go share it, man. The world needs to hear y'all.
Thank you, Jacqueline. Amazing. See you later, guys.